everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass. And no, we didn't put the glass in just because of the COVID days. That's typically the way.
Well, what is that little sign that says, don't feed the animals?
Well,
what's that all about?
Yeah, you are behind glass. We're keeping you there for sound purposes. That's really what it's about, not because of COVID. Tom, about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, I was complaining about the 90 degrees and saying, boy, I hope we've hit the last 90. I mean, it just keeps
going. We were all hoping that.
It just keeps going. I mean, we're breaking through these records like, my gosh, we're what? This today, it's 84 is the record.
Yesterday's record was 86 and we hit 91.
You know, this is the hottest year on record. It will go into the record books, I'm sure, as the hottest year ever in Tucson, Arizona, and probably the driest. We've had less than 4 inches of rain this whole year, a monsoon that didn't show up. So, you know, another 90-degree day and Thanksgiving out on the patio, I guess. But no, it's going to be fairly close to normal, maybe mid-70s for a week from
today. Next week, yeah.
Yeah, a week from today is Thanksgiving. Hello, everybody. Today is Thursday. It's November 19th, 2020. We continue to bring folks together right here on the good old radio and the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our station is 1030. It's Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and or kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to our visit with Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson, who, congratulations in order. This is her first visit with us since election, the election of 2020, winning a seventh consecutive four-year term to the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Democrat representing District Number 3. Congratulations, Sharon.
Well, thank you, Bill. And I'm not sure, maybe it should be condolences as we try to challenge. I mean, these are challenging times. With COVID, and it's going to be a challenge for our new board. But thank you for congratulations.
Yeah, there's no way to sugarcoat what I'm going to tell our listeners right now, but we just blew through 4,000 cases of COVID in Arizona. We had over 600 in Pima County, so it's not a good situation.
No, it is not. And it looks, as you know, it looks like our hospitals are being challenged with their ICU beds, and we need to mask up. That's the bottom line. And we need to wash our hands, and we need to be respectful of all those we come in contact with, because some of us may not be that susceptible, but others are. So we need to respect that.
Yeah, we got to hang on here for a couple more months until we get vaccine into people. And our conversation yesterday with the University of Arizona head of ecology and evolutionary ecology, Michael Warraby, was an eye-opener. Sharon Bronson, this new technique of developing vaccines is just off the charts in how effective it is. 95% effective. So if we can somehow get through the holidays here and into the new year, brighter days are ahead. But right now it's a very difficult time. And the governor today, along with the Arizona Department of Health Services, issued an emergency order mandating masks be worn at district and charter schools throughout the state. The governor said yesterday in his news conference he stopped short of issuing a mandate, saying that 90% of Arizona already has a mandate through the counties. But symbolically, wouldn't you have liked to have seen the governor say, there is a mask mandate in Arizona?
I don't know symbolically, but definitely. Could I not do it symbolically?
Yeah.
No, we need a mask mandate. That's bottom line. That's how we protect people. It's not only about protecting us. It's about protecting others who are at risk. It's about showing your humanity. So that's my view.
Is there anything left in the toolbox that Pima County can do?
We are, counties are weak arms of the state. We are still, the governor issued an emergency order. That's what we can do. We can't do anything beyond it.
Let's talk a little bit about the new board. What is the procedure? In years past, there would be a ceremony. There would be a swearing in for new members of the Pima County board. There were and the new line officers would all be sworn in. It'd be a big to do. What is the situation this year, Sharon Bronson?
Well, I think because of COVID, if individuals elected want to be sworn in, they can do it just by signing the oath of office. They do not need, we don't need the official ceremony. Once they sign that oath of office, they are official. And that needs to be done by, I think, December 28th, but I may have that date off, not be quite correct. But if any of the officials want to have their families there, we certainly have our boardroom open for them. They just need to let us know. It needs to be properly socially distanced. Everybody needs to wear a mask. But this is not, this is not 2016. This is today, and social gatherings are not the best thing we can do. But I welcome the newly elected and look forward to having conversations with them on how we can move forward, get through this pandemic, and get our economy back on track.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the certification of Pima County's election results. Was that done Tuesday?
That was done Tuesday.
But there had to have been...
3-2
It was a 3-2 vote.
A 3-2 vote.
What was the opposition from Republicans, Christie and Miller, about certifying the results? Seemed like a pretty strong mandate here in Pima County.
I don't think they were worried about Pima County necessarily in terms of our votes and whether they were concerned about Maricopa County, but this is Pima County. We did it right. We got it right. And we need to move on. And that was a little distressing to me. But again, it's not a zero-sum game. We need to have conversations. We need to work together. I just don't understand their opposition at this juncture, but again, we've got a new board in January, so I am hopeful that as we move forward, we will have civil conversations that are about issues and policy and not about politics.
Each one of these new board members are going to want to push their own agenda. Is there money for some of the things that are being discussed?
There's never enough money for everything we want to do, and you know that, Bill.
Of course.
Yes, I think that all of us want early childhood education, but how do we pay for it, and what do we cut? We've got challenges ahead, and I think that, in my view, and I am the only one member of the five, my view is we need to get the economy back on track before we have other discussions. My number one priority is getting us all back to work, getting through COVID, and then we can talk about the other things that are very important, certainly. But number one, how do we get out of COVID and get businesses back on track?
Well, an important thing that I want to talk about right now, Sharon Bronson, is Mona's Danish Bakery. Yes, thanks.
Can you get me some of those?
Well, Thanksgiving is now a week away, so now is the time to put in your order. Sharon, what is your favorite pie?
My favorite pie, it's cranberry apple. I know that sounds interesting. But I need the cranberry. That's if I were doing pies, but yeah. I'm dying for potato canisius right now. It's just that time of year.
I don't know. I don't know if Steve could put together something like that up at Mona's, but he does have a wide variety, of course, pumpkin, cherry, pecan, and now is the time to make that decision about what you want to do for Thanksgiving. People will be having smaller gatherings, but you're still going to want something sweet for dessert, maybe a pumpkin, maybe a cherry pie. And what about dinner rolls? What type of dinner roll would you like on the table? Well, Steve needs to know up at Mona's right now so they can get your order in. Check out Mona's Danish Bakery. They are the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Those Kringles are just a beautiful pastry, and they come in a variety of flavors. Wouldn't that be nice on your Thanksgiving morning on the breakfast table? And it will, it's a nice size. It's going to last a couple of days for you, so you can put in your order for a Kringle as well. I'll see you up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We continue with our conversation with Sharon Bronson on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios. Sharon Bronson is with us on the live line, and we'll get back to Sharon in a moment. But first, I want to tell everybody, we were talking about Thanksgiving and what to have on your Thanksgiving as far as rolls and pies from Mona's. What about a poinsettia from Green Things? Thousands of them are grown. They're homegrown. That means they'll do better. I'm just assuming that. I think if you're homegrown, you'll do better. Green Things with a wide variety of colors of poinsettias, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Wouldn't a beautiful poinsettia look beautiful on your Thanksgiving table? And they come in a variety of sizes. You don't need a big giant one on the on the dining room table so you can't see who's seated across from you. They've got some very small ones, some beautifully done, beautiful as a table setting. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, their website, greenthingsaz.com, and zocalovillage.com for that beautiful merchandise from Mexico. Like, how about a Christmas, one of those handmade tin Christmas trees from Mexico? You put a light under it, and it lights up, and it's really kind of very festive. Sharon, you know the Green Things area very well. I know you're a big fan of what they do over there.
I am. And, you know, as they have so many amazing plants. And this is a season to celebrate. We may be celebrating alone, but make yourself happy and get a poinsettia.
Yeah.
It's a euphorbia. And it belongs in the desert as well as on people's tables and in your home.
So. Sharon, let's talk about this wonderful news about the vaccines. Pfizer, their product needs to be kept really, really cold. Do we have a storage facility now in Pima County that can deliver that or store it till it gets into somebody's arm?
I do not. I think we are preparing for that, but more importantly, Bill, it's when it gets here, because this is, you know, they've got this now, but how it gets distributed, we're into 2022 before we'll have wide distribution. So that's going to be the real challenge. We will find the cold storage facilities, but more importantly, when do we get it and how do we deliver it? And that's going to be the challenge.
Pima County decided this week to change the sign code ordinance. I think that ordinance, Sharon, goes back to the 1980s. It goes back actually to 1986. What's the thinking behind this move?
We had to amend the sign code ordinance because there was a state legislative statute that required it. And it was 2 years in the making to conform to the new requirements, and we brought stakeholders to the table and we got it done. It depends on your point of view. I personally am not very fond of political signs. I'm not fond of billboards, but they're here to stay and we are conforming to the state statute. I know that some people were disappointed in the outcome with that 4-1 vote on Tuesday, but we still don't have electronic signs. We protected the astronomy industry, and we need to move forward, have a dialogue, and again, it's not a zero-sum game. We can adjust as we move forward. but we had to comply with state statute.
Is this anything to do with COVID? I know a lot of merchants would like to put an A-frame or a T-frame sign outside. They'll be allowed to do that now, right?
Absolutely. There's not any issue there. They're fine.
But it wasn't a result of COVID, this revamping.
No, it was a state statute that we had to comply with and adjust our sign code to, again, comply with the statute.
We talked in the first segment, there's never enough money to get things done that everybody wants to get done. So what's the priority going to be for 2021 coming out of COVID?
I think it's going to be, well, you just said it, it's coming out of COVID. How do we do it? Hopefully we'll get some money from the federal government. But again, I think the other priority is economic recovery. It's fixing our roads, which we have in this last budget. And then we're going to have some really, really tough decisions to make because we don't know what our income is going to be or what we distribution will be from the state revenues, which have been declining. And then we have property tax, which has been declining. So it's we've got some serious challenges ahead. But again, I think it's economic recovery. We need to fix the roads. Tourism is down in a major sense. So our state sales tax revenue is going to be down. It's a challenge, and I don't have answers. These are conversations that need to be ongoing as we get new information and as we get new folks in Washington and see where that's going. So, but money is going to be tight, and we need help from Washington, and I hope that's coming.
Look what our marquee events, they've been canceled. You've got the Gem Show. I don't know if they're going to go ahead with some of the other shows. The main show at the TCC is canceled. The rodeo is canceled. The book fair. These are all big events that bring in a lot of money in our prime tourism season. This is going to be a real lean tourism season, isn't it?
It's going to be 2022 before we recover if it's that early. And we, again, are facing challenges. And our new board is going to have to understand the budget. There are no easy answers. We don't know what's ahead. We just need to monitor it. We have a number of new row officers. That's also going to be a challenge because their budgets are rather large, and that may not be possible moving forward. We'll take it one day at a time.
The changes are, as you say, new row, our line officers. You've got a new county attorney. It's going to be interesting to see how Laura Conover changes up an office that really has had a philosophical point of view going all the way back to Steve Neely to the mid-1980s. This is a huge change, Sharon.
It is, and I'm hopeful. You know, the biggest part of our budget is justice and law enforcement. It's almost 60%. I am hopeful, given Ms. Conover's rhetoric, that we will be able to reduce that jail population and reduce the budgets for justice and law enforcement while keeping public safety a top priority. It's again, about having conversations and not talking about the rhetoric, but talking about the reality. And I'm hopeful with our new row officers, we can start that conversation.
Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. I hope you have a very nice Thanksgiving. A lot of people are changing their plans, of course, because of COVID, but still it is an opportunity for all of us to sit down at the table, whether we're with one other person or whether we're with a couple of other people, to be thankful really for what we have here in Pima County. Thank you very much, and congratulations again on winning re-election.
Thank you, Bill, and stay safe, stay well, mask up.
There you go. Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor in the Supervisorial District Number 3. At the midway point of the Buckmaster Show, our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks. Bob Hendricks is waiting on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Boy, I've got a lot to talk with Dr. Hendricks about. He will be next on the Buckmaster Show. And folks, let's face it, we're probably going to be in a virtual education environment here until maybe mid-year or certainly into the fall. We'll talk to Dr. Hendricks about that. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Guests appear on our live line courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, one-time School Superintendent of the Year. He spent many years as the superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. How are you today, Dr. Hendricks?
I'm doing well, Bill, but it seems like each time we talk, I'm always hoping for a little bit better news, but I'm not sure we've got it.
No, we don't. Let's face it, folks, 2020, and then 2021, half of it will be remembered as the year of virtual schooling. Let's face it, Dr. Hendricks, hundreds, maybe thousands of students are unaccounted for, basically fallen through the cracks. We have no idea where they are. I'm telling you, this is a mess.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to this crisis, and I use the word decidedly crisis because in addition to the questions of trying to deliver any kind of quality education, we've got, as you mentioned, this issue of absenteeism, which we don't have a handle on. Districts are losing enrollment. You know, AmFi, for example, has seen an 11% drop in their enrollment. And then we're losing teachers right and left. So there's really not a lot of good news out of any of this, and in terms of losing students, the absenteeism and actually not just absenteeism, but students who have just disappeared off the map. We don't know where they are. We don't know where the families are. And this has always been a problem. We have never had a successful way to track students when they leave the system, because, and quite honestly, the only way we track them is when they reappear somewhere else and they ask for their records. But this is a problem. There's this giant hole which we can't really get our hands around, because it's a vacuum that is, a crisis. State of crisis.
Some would say the only good news for education in 2020 was the passage of Proposition 208, but will it make a difference for Arizona schools and teachers? That is the question. That's the bottom line.
Well, I predicted this one wrong. I hoped that it would be a win, and it was a win, but I would certainly identify it as an underwhelming one. I mean, only 52% of the vote, was in favor of it. I mean, it's still a win, but I think the proponents expected that, this sort of tax the rich approach was going to be, wildly popular. For whatever reason, it isn't. I know that the opponents put a lot of money in their campaign, and Maricopa County was really kind of the spoiler in all of this, but it did win. It's going to inject, a lot of money, over $940 million, at latest count, will go into the budget for teachers. It's not going to go into effect till 2022. So this is not an immediate solution. So we're going to add that to the issue of less incentives for teachers to join the profession and teachers to remain in the profession. But it will kick in 2022. And I don't know. Here's one good thing about it. unlike the other infusion of money that the governor gave to education, this money is going to be put in a dedicated account. It's going to be easy to track. It's going to be easy for people to be held accountable for where this money is being used. And so it's not going to be available to the legislature. It's only going to be available to educational institutions for the specific purposes for which this money was intended. And 50% of this money is going to go directly to teacher salaries. Another 25% is going to go to support staff. And sometimes we forget that that's an important part of the education dollar. We have to pay our classroom aides. We have to pay our bus drivers. We have to pay our maintenance workers. So all that's going to go in. There's going to be another 12% for technology support. But majority of it's going to go to teacher salaries. But, you know, it still begs the question, we've got this looming issue of class size, which is always a number that can be manipulated. And so, you know, will class sizes be reduced? Because one of the reasons we're told that they're large right now is because of the amount of money that's being put into teacher salaries. So we don't know how that's going to change. Is it all going to go directly to salary, or is some of that money going to be used to add additional positions to reduce class size, which could be done? And will this money actually result in retaining current teachers and attracting new teachers? It's certainly not going to hurt. However, you know, and we've talked about this before, there are a lot of other issues in terms of attracting teachers beyond salary and fringe benefits. It's the climate, it's the idea of support, it's training, it's the cultural attitude of teachers and parents, students, that whole mix of, you know, what is the attitude towards education itself? You know, so there are all these complex things that are still swirling around, but certainly this money is going to help. We're still at the current time within the lowest quarter of teacher paid salaries across the country. Hopefully this injection of money will get us up until at least into the third segment of the bottom segment of but it'll be the third segment, not the quarter segment of salaries. And hopefully that's going to help. It'll help attract people to Arizona and attract teachers to stay in Arizona.
All right, Dr. Hendricks, we will visit with you. I'm actually going to expand your visit. I just sent you an email about this. I think we need more than one segment for our December visit as we kind of recap what's happened in this crazy year. So hopefully we'll
absolutely
have...
Absolutely, let's do it. Yeah.
We'll have a full half hour with you because we need to go over and kind of recap this crazy 2020 year and look ahead to 2021. But the news is just really continues to be very, very difficult. And we're going to have to get through a couple of months, 2 or 3 months before we get vaccine in people's arms. So we've got a ways to go. But I want to wish you and your wonderful family a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you in December.
Great. And the same to you, Bill. Stay safe.
Thank you very much. Dr. Robert Hendricks, bye. The Buckmaster Show contributor on education. With us in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios, Buckmaster Show on a Thursday continues right after this.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We're all dreaming of getting away. There's nothing that stops us from going to the good old computer and start planning for when everybody's gotten the vaccine and things are returning to normal. So why not think about a trip to Southwest New Mexico and Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? Their website is a great place to check out, thinking about things you could do over there, southwestnewmexico.org, for things to do and places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which is only a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. Joining us now on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, is writer Carolyn Neathammer. Carolyn's latest book, it's her 11th book, is titled A Desert Feast, Celebrating Tucson's Culinary History, Heritage, Culinary Heritage, published by University of Arizona Press. Carolyn leads Tucson gastronomy tours, covering everything from edible wild plants to the latest farm-to-table restaurant offerings with heritage ingredients. The most recent of her five cookbooks is titled Cooking the Wild Southwest, Delicious Recipes for Desert Plants. Carolyn, how are you?
I'm fine today. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. This is your 11th book. How did this one come about? What was the genesis of this book, Carolyn?
Well, when Tucson was named a UNESCO City of Gastronomy 5 years ago,
I knew it was my book because I've been writing about food in the Southwest ever since I graduated from college, which is many decades. And I wanted to correct something. When we were named UNESCO City of Gastronomy, people thought it was all about the tacos. And we have tacos. And we also have, we know, the 23 miles of best Mexican food in the United States. But our designation as UNESCO City of Gastronomy was broader than that. And I wanted to tell the deeper story of why we got that designation. Because when UNESCO looks at the designation, and there were several of the best writers and thinkers in Tucson who put that nomination petition together, they're looking for a whole food system. They're not just looking at the best fish tacos.
People have been eating a lot of the same foods in this area for 8,000 years. Pretty incredible.
That's right. You know, that's the thing. Back before there were even villages here, when people were just kind of wandering through and eating what they could, they ate prickly pear, and they were gnawing on mesquite pods, and they were using little grass seeds. Well, we still have prickly pear margaritas, don't we? And in some of the fancier restaurants, occasionally on the menu, you'll see a delicious prickly pear sauce. And there's a couple of cafes here in Tucson that on Saturday mornings, they have a line out the door waiting for their mesquite waffles. So, yes, 8,000 years, we're still eating the same stuff.
You know, you talk about heritage ingredients. Let our listeners in on that. What do you consider a heritage ingredient?
Well, I consider some of the plants that have been around here for a long, long time. And these, because of our environment, it's hot and it's dry, some plants don't do very well here. But there have been farmers, particularly the Tohono O'odham farmers, who have been farming here for generations and generations. And they have particular plants that do really well here. Like the big one, of course, is the tepary bean. Tepary beans were originally a wild food. We're not sure how they became domesticated, possibly in Mexico and then moved up here. But tepary beans are something that will grow. Well, even this last summer was a tough one. Even tepary beans struggled with this last summer. But in a general summer where we have monsoon rains, tepary beans will do just well, just on rainfall, because they're used to this climate. And there are other foods like that. There are certain kinds of corn that do very well here.
A lot of people kind of let you into their lives to put this book together, and you have some, you know, access to some beautiful pictures. It's a beautifully put together, beautifully produced book by the University of Arizona Press, but this was a community project, Carolyn Niethammer, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm just the bearer of the stories. It was wonderful. It really is a community project. I went out to the farms and the farmers. I tramped around with them. They showed me things. I got into the people's kitchens and talked about how their foods are made and the special things that they do. And I talked to lots of anthropologists. You know, there has been a lot of anthropology, new anthropology done over the last 10 years where people have found out a lot of new things, like that corn in this area goes back 4,000 years.
Wow.
And that's all new. So it was really interesting and really fun that these people let me spend time with them and were so generous with all of my questions. And I had lots and lots of questions.
The archaeological folks talk about the three sisters, don't they? They talk about corn, beans, and squash.
Yes. And, you know, when I started this book, I didn't know what I didn't know. We talk about the three sisters, but I was fascinated to learn that corn came to our valley 4,000 years ago, 2100 BC.
Wow.
And it took the people here, it took them about 1,000 years to figure how to grow it really well. They didn't have any agricultural tradition. There were no extension agents to call. They kind of had to figure it out. So then, according to the archaeologist, squash appeared maybe 1,500 years later, maybe like around 500 to maybe 50 BC. But the beans, in terms of being a real food, did not really show up in the archaeological record until 500 AD. And that's when the Hohokam culture arose, and they finally had a decent pot to cook the beans in. Now, they did a little boiling before in the baskets and putting a hot rock in the basket and so forth. But beans take a really, really long time to cook, and you're not going to cook them with hot rocks. You really needed to wait until you got a decent pot that you could cook your beans in. So consequently, the arrival of corn and beans as a real part of the diet was separated by 2,500 years. So these three sisters haven't always been together. It's only been maybe the last 2,000 years that we've had corn, beans, and squash together.
We're talking with Carolyn Neathammer. Her book, her newest book, her 11th book, is published by the University of Arizona Press. It's titled A Desert Feast, Celebrating Tucson's Culinary Heritage. We really have, we've got some beautiful school gardens that have popped up right now around town. We've really become, there's really a culinary ethic that is here these days, isn't there, Carolyn?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the story of the school gardens, I think it's really interesting. It's really indicative of the cultural and help that happens across nonprofits. The food bank, the community food bank, decided that one of the important things for better nutrition is for us all to have a garden if we can. And one of the best ways is to start kids. So they went out and built gardens in a number of the schools with the thought that the teachers would keep them up. Well, and use them in their curriculum. Well, you know, teachers are kind of overburdened and there was a lot to do and they weren't being used as well as they might have been. But Native Seeds, one of our
Quickly, Carolyn, we're about out of time. Quickly, please.
Okay. So Native Seeds helped by giving seeds. University sent kids in internships to help with the gardens. And now they're flourishing. Maybe not so much this year, but as soon as we get back to regular school, we'll be back into flourishing school gardens.
All right, Carolyn Neathammer, where can we get the book, A Desert Feast?
They have it at the Desert Museum. They have it at Presidio. They have it at every local bookstore. They have it at Tohono O'Chul.
All right. Thank you very much. Good catching up with you again, Carolyn.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Carolyn Neathammer, A Desert Feast, Celebrating Tucson's Culinary Heritage. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a good afternoon.